Now, if you would turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we'll read from the fourth verse down to verse 6. Matthew chapter 11, and we'll read from the fourth verse. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Dear congregation, in Isaiah chapter 61, we have that well-known prophecy concerning the ministry and work of Christ. There in verses 1 and 2 we read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." We see there the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord made that abundantly plain in the synagogue at Nazareth. He read those words and then he opened and expounded those words which concerned him. Sadly, many rejected him there on that day. What blindness, what pride was in the heart. There was that ignorance within. They rejected Christ. But in contrast, as we see here in these verses this morning, certain poor sinners had their eyes opened and they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did them good in a physical way, but for so many as well in a spiritual way. Eyes were opened. Deaf ears were unblocked. All the sinners would be humbled by grace today. And their eyes would be opened, that they would have a saving knowledge within, that they would be found looking unto Jesus. As we come to these words this morning and we consider what the Lord did, particularly first of all in a physical way, but we know also in a spiritual way, what is our prayer to him this morning? Lord, open hearts. Lord, open eyes. Now, upon a certain day, John, who was in prison, heard of the works of Christ. And he sent two of his disciples to go and ask the Lord this particular question, which we have in the third verse. Perhaps it was two disciples who had their reservations, their questions concerning Christ. Were they sent? And we're told in the third verse, "Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" Here's the question. Art thou the Christ? Art thou the one that was prophesied of? Art thou the one that has now come? Or do we look for another? Well, our Lord does not directly answer the question. However, in the answer he gave, he proved that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. And just come with me now to verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Go and show. Tell John of the things which ye do hear and see. For this gives evidence that I am the Christ, that I am the Son of God. Well, let's now come, the Lord enabling, to consider these things here this morning. And I'd like us to consider, first of all, the Messiah's work. Secondly, the Messiah's preaching. Thirdly, the Messiah's pronouncement. And then fourthly, the Messiah's command. His work, his preaching, his pronouncement, as we note in verse 6, and then his command, as we will return to verse 4. First of all, then, the Messiah's work. Come with me to verse 5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Well, let's just consider here what the Lord said, and it shows to us the good he did. He opened the eyes of the blind. He caused the lame to walk. He cleansed the lepers. He caused the deaf to hear. He raised the dead. These things proved that he was the Messiah. It could not be questioned. He was the Christ, the Son of God, the sent one. These things bore evidence that God was with him. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we read how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with him. There could be no doubt how the people were blessed through him. Oh, what good he did. Now we consider he gave physical sight and hearing. And how amazing it must have been for those who were blind and those who were deaf suddenly to see the Lord. Suddenly for those who were deaf to hear. Some of us, we struggle with hearing. We find it hard to hear. Well, you think of those who were deaf. They couldn't hear a word, and then they suddenly heard. Last year, I watched a particular clip of somebody who was being helped in a medical way. And there was something implanted. I'm no doctor here, so I can't tell you what it was, but something was implanted. And these headphones were put on this child. And then the computer was programmed, and then suddenly this child heard. And the child put their hand over their mouth, and they wept. They heard for the first time. You just think here of those who heard, how amazing it was for the deaf to hear. He caused men to hear. He caused those who were lame to walk. He brought back men from the dead. What good he did. But let's think further this morning. As we think of these things, to consider what he did and does in a spiritual way today. Firstly, there is spiritual sight. Secondly, spiritual hearing. Thirdly, spiritual walking. Fourthly, spiritual healing. And fifthly, spiritual life. Well, let's consider these things here, because what he did in a physical way speaks to us of what he did and does in a spiritual way, as we see in Isaiah 35. We see in that chapter the flourishing state of the church and how the Lord blesses men, particularly in a spiritual way. He blesses the souls of men. And as we think of these things this morning, we who love the Lord, may these things be a comfort to us, to know the one we love is the Messiah, the one that was sent by God. Well, let's consider first of all this morning, spiritual sight. The blind received their sight. There were those who could not see in a physical way, they then saw. But there were also those who did not see in a spiritual way, but then they saw. He gives spiritual sight. That implies, does it not, that before there is blindness. Now, as we think of a spiritual blindness, we consider two parts to it. First of all, there is no saving knowledge. One is blind. Remember those words in Ephesians 1 verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Well, those who are blind have no saving knowledge. No understanding in a spiritual way. But the second part is, when we think of blindness, there is no faith. So two parts. No saving knowledge and no faith. Ignorance and unbelief. That's the blindness, ignorance and unbelief. Our Lord, through the Spirit, gives sight. There is saving knowledge. And one is found looking unto Jesus. And we see this all brought together in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, says the apostle. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know, there's the saving knowledge, whom I have believed. There's saving faith. There's a saving knowledge, and there is a looking unto Jesus. The eye has been opened. Has your eye been opened? Has the Lord drawn near to you and opened your eyes? Remember what John Newton said. Once I was blind, but now I see. One may have had a floating knowledge of Christ in the head. What do I mean? That comes from James Fisher. A floating knowledge of Christ in the head. You know certain things of Christ, but it's only in your head. It's not in your heart. Let me ask you, do you have a saving knowledge of Christ? A knowledge of Christ in your heart? Christ has touched your heart. The Spirit has come near. And your eyes have been opened. And you can say now, the life which I now live, as with the Apostle Paul, Christ liveth in me. Have you a heart knowledge of Christ? Do you know the Lord? Have you been given a heart? Is your eye open in that respect? I know thee, Lord Jesus. But then also we consider saving faith. Are you looking? You're knowing and you're looking. Those, it goes hand in hand, doesn't it? Those who look, they know. Those who know, they look. There's true faith with him. Once I was blind, but now I'm see. Do you know Christ? Are you looking unto Christ? Has your eyes been open? At times you may feel that weakness and you struggle. I do. It's the struggles within. Faith may appear weak, but can you say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded? Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, but I know whom I believe. Thou hast opened mine eyes. And let's just go back. You think of those who were given physical sight. Their eyes were open. And who was the first one they saw? It was Jesus. Can you look back? You may not be able to think of a particular time, but can you look back? He opened my eyes and now I see Jesus with the eye of faith. And I have this eye of understanding, this saving knowledge with him. Secondly, spiritual hearing. Men by nature will not listen. And that's so obvious to us, isn't it? You can come alongside one. And you in a loving way, it must always be in a loving way, you can point out some sin. And then you tell them of Jesus, but they just don't accept. They won't listen. There's a natural deafness. We think of those who are deaf, but there is also a spiritual deafness. No matter how much you say the gospel to one, they will not listen, and you pity. But let's consider the spiritual hearing. In Isaiah 35, verse 5, thinking of the spiritual hearing, the flourishing of the church, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. There's a hearing. You remember Matthew? He was going about his business. The Lord said, follow me, and he heard for the first time in his heart. And we're told he arose and followed him. He heard the voice of Jesus. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? You've heard Jesus in the gospel. We who love the Lord, what do we say today as we hear the Lord? Song of Solomon 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved. The voice of my beloved, I'm listening to thee, Lord Jesus. And I'm so thankful I hear thy voice. I'm hearing thee. Now go back to that illustration a little earlier. Remember that child? The headphones were put on. The computer was organized, set rather. And then the child heard. And the child was so amazed, put their hand over their mouth and wept. So amazed. Are you amazed to hear the voice of Jesus? Oh, to be more ready to hear his voice. We who love the Lord, we have spiritual hearing, haven't we? We can say the voice of my beloved. Ready to hear his voice each day as we turn to the word. Ready to hear his voice as we come to worship him and where his presence is known in a special way. Oh, to be more taken with listening to the voice of Jesus. That little child who heard for the first time in a physical way has a lot to teach us. So taken with hearing. Are you so taken with hearing the voice of the beloved? You want to hear? What a blessing. We hear his voice. We know the voice of the beloved. You know, it's a precious thing, isn't it? We're reading the word and the word comes home to us. And we say, Lord, thou art speaking to us. What a blessing. Oh, to be lost more in this. Oh, to be more taken. He's given us hearing. Let's just think of this. What's the purpose of hearing? It's to hear him. Let's not turn our ear away from Jesus. Let's listen to Jesus. What a wonderful thought. He's given us hearing because he knows the great blessing it is for us to listen to him. Let's not turn our ear away. We who love the Lord, let's keep listening to Jesus. He's given us hearing. The voice of my beloved. How blessed we are to hear his voice. Let's be more eager to hear the voice of Jesus. So someone here, you've never heard it really. Yes, you've heard with your natural ear. You've heard these words often come unto me, but you've never gone because you're deaf. Oh, that your ear would be open, that you would be led unto Jesus. What a blessing to listen to Jesus. I begin with myself, we don't appreciate it enough at times, do we? We take it for granted. We're casual with worship at times. We're casual with our readings. We're slow to read, slow to worship, because we at those times don't appreciate the great blessing of listening to Jesus. Thirdly, spiritual walking. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The lame walk. There were those who were lame. Remember that one had to be carried by his friends to meet Jesus. He was lame. By nature, men are lame. They do not walk in an upright way. They rather go down hastily the pathway of sin. There's enticing sinners. Proverbs 1 verse 14. And they say this, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. The godly man's response is this, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. But so many are lame. And so they hobble down the pathway of sin. They do not walk in an upright way. Many walk in the wrong way. And they walk in that broad way. They hobble over to the pathway, to the pleasure houses of sin, to be gratified. But oh, the Lord causes the lame to walk. He turns the feet, as we see in Psalm 119. And he causes one to walk in an upright way. And they walk in the way of God's word. They walk following Christ. And they walk down the narrow way. Yes, it has its trials. There's a cross to bear. But they're walking. What a contrast to the unconverted. They're hobbling down the broad way. Are you walking this morning? Are you walking with Jesus? What do we read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Before we weren't walking, we were lame, but now we're walking. Now you just follow this through here. We're thinking of the physical to teach us of the spiritual. Our eyes were open, we saw Jesus. Our ears were unstopped, we heard the voice of Jesus. We were made to walk, to follow Jesus. A spiritual walking. We who have been caused to walk, let's walk near to Jesus. How far are you? Is there a distance in your walk, dear child of God? Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. How close are you walking to Jesus? At times there's a little distance. Draw me nearer. Oh, to walk more pleasing the Lord as we walk down the narrow way. Fourthly, spiritual healing. Now just think here how he cleansed the lepers, or what he did for those lepers. Just turn with me to verse 4. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The lepers are cleansed. Leprosy was and still is a dreadful disease. And we pity those, don't we? But oh, there is something far more dreadful, and that's the disease of sin. Yet the Lord heals. There is forgiveness and comfort begins to fill. The guilt is removed and the dread begins to disperse in effectual calling when one is saved. And so we read in Isaiah 33 verse 24, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. You see that there? There's forgiveness and comfort begins to fill. The inhabitant says, not, I am sick. No, I've been forgiven. There's spiritual healing. There's comfort. There's forgiveness. Have you known that spiritual healing? That all your sins have been forgiven? Can you say, in view of God as a judge and judicial forgiveness, I'm not sick. Thou hast healed all my sins. Yes, we need a healing, that fatherly healing as believers. But all we can say, I am not sick. There's forgiveness. I'm forgiven. Because of Jesus, I'm forgiven. There's the spiritual healing. And comfort began to fill my soul. You remember that lady who came in weeping? Her sins, which are many, said the Lord to Simon, are forgiven, for she loved much. And then what was she told? Go in peace. What a healing it was for that lady. There was forgiveness. And comfort began to fill the soul. Yes, peace can be disturbed in our lives as believers, but comfort began to fill the soul. Jesus, through his Spirit, drew near. Because of Jesus, there was forgiveness. Upon the event of faith, there was justification, and comfort began to fill the soul. Do you know a measure of comfort? I am forgiven because of the precious blood of Jesus. And I'll never find myself outside of that covering. Is comfort continuing to fill your heart? Spiritual healing. But then fifthly, spiritual life. Coming me again to verse 5. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The dead are raised up. How amazing. Think of Lazarus and others, whom the Lord brought back to life. Let's think of spiritual life. By nature, men are dead in trespasses and sins. And we who love the Lord, we were in that state, were we not, as we see in Ephesians chapter 2. But then the Lord came near, and life was put within. In effectual calling, we were born again. In that time of love, the Spirit drew near, life was put within. We were given a heart for Jesus. How we were born again. Our wills were renewed. Through grace, we were able to consider the Lord and follow him. This life, we have a testimony, do we not? The life which I now live. We were dead, but now we live. A life for Jesus. Just follow this all through. We were given sight to see Jesus and to know Jesus. We were given a hearing to hear his voice. We were caused to walk to follow him. We've been raised to have this life, to enjoy it with Christ. Have you this life within? We who have this life, let's live it. For the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this being impressed upon you this morning? As you consider what Jesus did then, what Jesus has done for you. It's the Lord that has done it. Live therefore your life for him. For to me to live is Christ. Consider what he has done for you. Will you not this week with such zeal live for Jesus? Secondly, and with this, we're closed this morning as time is passing. The Messiah's preaching. The Messiah's preaching. Notice the end of verse 5. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, as we've seen in the previous chapter, the Lord ordained and he sent forth his apostles, his disciples, to preach. And they would go forth and they would preach the gospel. And many who were poor would hear. But then we think further this morning that the Lord himself went about preaching the gospel. He preached to the poor often. It was part of his work. You go back to those words in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We have those words also in Luke 4 verse 18. To preach the gospel to the poor. And so yes, as a number of the commentators rightly bring out, the apostles went forth preaching to the poor. But I believe in light of those words in Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter 4, we're led to consider particularly the Lord Jesus Christ who preached to the poor. He preached the gospel. He made known the truth. Sadly, many rejected him here upon earth. You think, as we already have, of those who rejected him in Nazareth. They wanted him gone. They were amazed at his words, but later they wanted him gone. But there were others who were blessed through the ministry of Christ here upon earth. Many heard the voice of Jesus with their natural ear, but then they were blessed within and there was a spiritual hearing. Now just think of it. They heard the voice of the Saviour. One may say, oh, to have been there. And yes, we might say that. But we hear the voice of the Saviour through the word today, where he went about and he preached the gospel. We have those words in Psalm 40, the words of the Lord Jesus through the psalmist, verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation, though I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. He went about, he preached before many, and he was faithful. Do not we see the faithfulness of Christ there in Psalm 40? I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest. He could appeal to heaven here upon earth. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. He was faithful. Listen to Spurgeon commenting on the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 40. Never either from love of ease or fear of men did the great teacher's lips become closed. He was spoken against, despised by many, hated, yet he faithfully preached. Oh, what a redeemer, what a saviour who went on preaching despite the opposition. Though he was greatly despised, he went on. And there's many lessons in passing for preachers, ministers of the gospel. They're to be faithful. They may not be eloquent, and you know that here, but they're to be faithful, and they're to keep going and preach that gospel, though there is opposition, to preach the gospel. The good news he preached concerning himself, and what good news it is, the best news a sinner can hear. Ebenezer Erskine wrote, it brings the most joyful message unto lost sinners that ever was heard. What a message it is. And we heard it with our physical ear, but then we heard it with a spiritual ear. And are we not thankful? We heard the voice of Jesus. We heard this gospel, good news. When we think of sin and judgment, we trembled. But oh, did not the gospel bring peace to the soul when we believed it and we heard this gospel? And this gospel, it concerned our Saviour. I hope we never tire of listening to the gospel. If you do, you come and see the pastor. Because there's something wrong if we tire of listening to the gospel. For the gospel concerns our Saviour. And it's the best news we've heard. And are we not blessed? We've heard it. When we think of so many, they pass by. We see it in the open air, on the doors, in the workplace, in the college, the school, in the community. They pass by. They're deaf. They're blind. But we've heard. We've heard the joyful sound. We've not only heard the joyful sound, but we know the joyful sound as we sing in Psalm 89, verse 15. Oh, that men would hear the glorious gospel. What a message it is to preach. A message concerning Christ, and in the gospel we hear the voice of Christ. Come unto me. What a message that is. Come unto me. What a gracious message. What a real and loving message. What a sincere message. Come unto me. Have you heard the voice of Jesus in the gospel? One of old wrote, have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? Have you? Or are you still deaf this morning? Well, the gospel is to be preached. As we see, our Lord, he preached the gospel. And our Lord said in Mark 16, verse 15, unto his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to all. Proverbs 8, verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Unto you, O men. That's the call of the gospel, the free offer of the gospel, as we see there in Proverbs 8, verse 4. He preached the gospel, and the gospel is to be preached to all. But let's particularly notice now that he preached here to the poor. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor. We can think of the beggar, the pauper, the poor man. Those words are used as we translate the Greek word. To the poor. Riches often hinder, not always, but often they hinder. And our Lord made it plain, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Matthew 19, verse 24, again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's hard, it's not impossible, for all things are possible with God. But it's a great hindrance. It's a great hindrance to a man or woman if they have much in this world. And you know, I say this lovingly. We meet many in this village, and they can be very pleasant and polite. But many of them have much in this world's possessions, and they think they have all they need. They don't need the gospel. Riches often are a great hindrance. And so often it's the poor ones who listen to the gospel. And here in this text we see in our Lord's earthly ministry, it was many poor ones who heard the gospel. You think of how many listened to the gospel in Africa. There was a godly minister from America, and he was in Africa a few years ago. And he came to this village, the outskirts of this village, and a few people came to hear him. 700 came to hear him. We would be amazed at that today, wouldn't we? We went down to Ringwood, we started preaching, and 700 people came and they stopped with eagerness to listen to the gospel. There are many out there in Africa, they haven't got much of this world, but there's something they want to hear. You think in many Chinese villages, and there's great poverty, there's a great hearing of the gospel. It's often the poor, isn't it? Now we live in a village called Mopbeggar, or a hamlet. And it's a very sad name, isn't it, really? And that's why I tend to use the word Ipsley in correspondence about the church, because though it's the name of the village, it's a very sad name, Mopbeggar. Because it literally means what it says. The poor beggars were mocked, either by rich people in the village, or it was rich people coming through mocking a poor group of people in the village. It's not a pleasant name, is it? And so that's why I use the name Cross Lanes or Ipsley. Not Mopbeggar, though it is the name. We must never mock the poor, because so many have been blessed by Jesus and have heard the gospel. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And as I was thinking of these words in the study, it reminds me, we must labour on in this village, but we must go out further to the poor people of this wider locality. We must go to where there are those who have less of this world's goods, because they have every right to hear the gospel. The poor have the gospel preached unto them, and there may be more reception with those who are poor. But just before we come to a conclusion this morning, as we think of the poor having the gospel preached to them, and those that were saved, there was a work of grace done in their heart. They were humbled by grace, and they became poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Pride had been emptied, and they were found at the feet of Jesus. Oh, for rich men to be humble. But thinking of these poor ones who were brought unto Christ, they were humbled by grace. And in every conversion, there's this humbling through grace, and one is made poor in spirit. There's this emptying of pride. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There's this receiving. You see, when one goes to Christ, they deny their righteousness. Not having any righteousness of my own to merit. There's a denying of one's righteousness. One is made poor in spirit. One is humbled by grace. Certain mountains and hills are brought low in the gospel, in effectual calling. And the Saviour makes his way, and the Saviour's voice is heard, and the eye is opened. Humble sinners are found at the feet of Jesus. The poor have the gospel preached to them. There were many poor They didn't have much in this world's goods. The Lord came near, and a number were saved. They were made poor in spirit, humbled by grace. And are we not thankful we've been humbled by grace? We came to that point, we saw there's no point trusting any longer in ourselves. We got nothing to offer the Lord. We're empty-handed. And we were led unto Jesus. We were made poor in spirit. Sadly, pride can arise in our hearts. Cut it down, Lord. Bring us to thy feet again and again. Because that's where we want to be. Because we have eyes to see. We have faith within. We know thee. We want to gaze at thee more often, Lord Jesus. We have ears to hear. We want to hear more of thee. We've been humbled by grace. Keep us humble, Lord, looking unto Jesus. The poor have the gospel. Preach to them. We've heard the gospel. We've heard of Christ. And we know Christ. We have a new walk, dear brothers and sisters. Let's walk this walk humbly with the Messiah. What a blessing to know him. I want to know him more. Is zeal being stirred in your soul? Lord, I want to know thee more. I want to serve thee more. I want to pray more. I want to love thee more. I want to worship thee more all the days of my life. Amen. Let us pray.